بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is Beshti Zewar, continuing with the Masail of Salah. And certainly we have discussed the various times of the various Salah. So here as it says further, Garmi ke motum mein zohar ki namaz mein jaldi na kare. That in the month of summer, a person shouldn't hasten with the zohar Salah. This doesn't refer to us. We have a standard time throughout the year. So this refers to perhaps the very, very hot countries. Garmi ki tezi ka waqt jata rahe tab parna mustahab hai. When the heat of the sun now it disappears a little or it calms down a little, then it is mustahab to perform salah. Aur jaro mein awwal waqt par lena mustahab hai. And in the month of winter, it is mustahab to perform the zohar salah in the awwal time. As soon as the time enters, then you should perform the salah. So in summer, normally a little later, so the heat subsides a little bit. And in the month of winter, in the initial time. اور عصر کی نماز میں ذرا اتنی دیر کر کے پڑھنا بہتر ہے کہ وقت آنے کے بعد اگر کچھ نفلے پڑھنا چاہے تو پڑھ سکے. And in the عصر نماز, it is best that a person delays the عصر نماز a little bit after the time enters. Meaning, the moment the time enters, a person shouldn't read the عصر نماز, but delay it a little bit. Why? That if a person intends to perform some nafil namaz, then he can still perform salah. Because once you read your Asr Namaz, from after Asr till sunset, you can't read Nafil Namaz. So rather delay the Asr Namaz a little bit. So what happens, after initially a person can read Nafil Namaz, then he will read his Asr. Then after Asr till Maghrib, there's no Nafil. But this is where, for example, if the time hasn't been stipulated, or a person, he's reading Namaz on his own for some reason, where the time in the Masjid has been stipulated, there we should read with Jamaat. There a person, he cannot delay the Namaz time. کیونکہ عصر کے بعد تو نفلے پڑھنا درست نہیں. After عصر to perform نفل is not correct. چاہے گرمی کا موسم ہو یا جارے کا, whether it's a month of summer, whether it's a month of winter, there's one rule that applies over here. دونوں کا ایک حکم ہے. لیکن اتنی دیر نہ کرے کہ سورج میں زردی آ جائے. But then don't delay the عصر نماز to such an extent that now that color of the sun starts changing, becomes yellowish. اور دھوپ کا رنگ بدل جائے. And the rays of the sun now changes color. اور مغرب کی نماز میں جلدی کرنا اور سورج ڈوبتے ہی پڑھ لینا مستحب ہے. And in the مغرب صلاح, yeah, it is best that a person performs the مغرب صلاح immediately after the sunset. The moment the sun sets, a person, the azan is called out and the مغرب صلاح should be performed. جو کوئی تہجد کی نماز پچھلی رات کو اٹھ کر پڑھا کرتی ہو. If a person wakes up in the latter portion of the night and they perform the تہجد صلاح, تو اگر پکا بھروسہ ہو کہ آنکھ ضرور کھلے گی. Now, if a person is certain, he has certainty that my eyes is going to open up at the time of tahajjud, I will perform my tahajjud namaz in the early hours of the morning, تو اس کو وتر کی نماز تہجد کے بعد پڑھنا بہتر ہے. For such a person, it is best that he performs his وتر salah after the tahajjud namaz. Meaning after Isha salah, he shouldn't perform his وتر at that time. But after he performs his tahajjud namaz in the early hours of the morning, then he should perform the witr salah, which is also a practice of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that after the tahajjud namaz, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to perform the witr salah. Lekin agar aankh khulne ka i'tibar na ho, but if a person does not have confidence, he's not sure whether he'll wake up, he won't wake up, will my eyes open or not, or so jane ka dar ho, and a person fears that if I go to sleep, then I might oversleep also, so I'll only wake up fajr time, تو عشاء کے بعد سونے سے پہلے ہی پڑھ لینا چاہے. Then a person, he should perform the witr salah after the عشاء salah. Meaning after عشاء when he reads his sunnat, thereafter a person should perform the witr salah. بدلی کے دن فجر اور ظہر اور مغرب کی نماز ذرا دیر کر کے پڑھنا بہتر ہے. Yeah, he says when it's a cloudy day, then فجر, ظہر and مغرب نماز. That these three namazes, a person should delay a little bit and then performing. Why? So that a person is sure that the time has entered. But we got our time again, so it doesn't really matter to us. But normally where there isn't a time, then it should be delayed a little bit. Aur asr ki namaz jaldi karna mustahab hai. And the asr salah, a person should hasten a little bit. You shouldn't delay it, because it's possible if you go to delay it, you could enter into the makruh time. So therefore, the asr namaz, one should hasten with it. Suraj nikalte waqt اور ٹھیک دوپہر کو اور سورج ڈوبتے وقت کوئی نماز صحیح نہیں ہے. There are three times a person should not perform any salah. One is at the time of sunrise, exactly at the time of zawal, and at the time of sunset. There's no salah that is correct at these three times. البتہ عصر کی نماز اگر ابھی نہ پڑھ ہی ہو تو وہ سورج ڈوبتے وقت بھی پڑھ لے. This we discussed on Saturday that if a person hasn't performed the عصر نماز for some reason, he's caught up in traffic or whatever happened, then even though the sun is now setting, then too he can still perform his عصر صلاح. اور ان تینوں وقت سجدہ تلاوت بھی مکروہ اور منع ہے. Many people ask this question that at these three times a person cannot make sajda tilawat as well. When you read the ayat of sajda of the Quran, then the sajda that has to be made after that, at these three times don't make the sajda. When it is sunrise, at the mid-noon, at the noon, when the sun is at the time of zawal, and at the time of sunset, these three times a person can't make sajda tilawat. Yes, after fajr, till sunrise, you can make sajda tilawat. And after asr, till the time the color of the sun changes, that time you can still make sajda tilawat. When the color of the sun changes, now a person shouldn't make sajda tilawat. Fajr ki namaz par lene ke baad, jab tak suraj nikal kar uncha na ho jawe, nafil namaz parna makruh hai. After performing the fajr namaz, as long as the sun hasn't risen a little high, then it is makruh to read nafil namaz. So in other words, this masla is from the time of subah sadiq actually. From the time of subah sadiq, when theory comes to an end. So from that time, right up to the time of sunrise, a person can only read two namazes. One is the sunnat of fajr, and the second is the fajr namaz. Besides these two, there's no other nafil namaz can be performed in this time. He'll explain now about qaza namazes. Albatta suraj nikalne se pehle, qaza namaz parna durust hai. But before sunrise, after fajr, you can't read nafil namaz after fajr. But if a person has missed namazes in his lifetime, which is referred to as qada-i umri. So here a person, he does not know how long he's going to live. And that is so to say like a death. You're owing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So even though you can't read nafil after fajr, the qada namaz you can perform. It is correct to perform your qada namaz. But that a person shouldn't perform now in the masjid. Because now people are in the masjid, they know that after fajr, you can't read nafil namaz. So now you are reading qada. So they know that you have missed out namaz in your life, so you are reading that qada namaz. So this is now advertising your guna. That sin that you committed by missing out that namaz, that was a guna. Now you're advertising, you're showing everyone that I missed out that namaz. So a person, if he's at home, for example, go home and read it at home. Or for example, if a person like is in a tent, here nobody is going to know whilst you're in that tent, then it's okay also. Or in a masjid where there's a top floor, go away to the top floor, read it over there where nobody will see you. So don't advertise your guna. Or sajda tilawat bhi durust, tilawat bhi durust, tilawat bhi durust. And this time, sajda tilawat is also correct. اور جب سورج نکل آیا تو جب تک ذرا روشنی نہ آ جائے قضا نماز بھی درست نہیں. And when the sun has risen, then as long as it does not become a little bright, which we say about 10 to 15 minutes after sunrise, at that time you can't even read your قضا نماز at that time. After sunrise, for the 10 to 15 minutes, till when you can start اشراق نماز, at that time you shouldn't even read your قضا نماز at that time. ایسے ہی عصر کی نماز پڑھ لینے کے بعد نفل نماز جائز نہیں. آفٹر عصر نماز سے نفل از ناٹ پرمیسیبل. البتہ قضاء اور سجدہ کی آیت کا سجدہ درست ہے. However, after عصر یو کین میک قضاء, and as I mentioned سجدہ تلاوت یو کین میک دا سجدہ آلسو آفٹر دی عصر صلاح. لیکن جب ڈوب پھیکی پڑ جائے تو یہ بھی درست نہیں. بٹ وین دا کلر آف دا سن از گوئنگ ٹو چینج دیٹ 20 منٹس بفور مغرب, سو ایٹ دیٹ ٹائم یو شوڈنٹ ایون میک قضاء نماز آلسو. And your sajda tilawat you shouldn't make at that time as well. Fajr ke waqt suraj nikal aane ke dar se jaldi ke mare faqat farz par liye. At the time of fajr, because of fear that the sun is going to rise, a person for some reason he got late. Happens, we all human beings, sometimes a person gets late. So now a person fear that it's going to be sunrise. So due to fear of sunrise, what a person did, he quickly just read his farz namaz. He had sufficient time, maybe he had 3 to 4 minutes. So he said, quickly let me read my farz namaz, that my namaz doesn't become qaza. So he read his farz namaz. So ab jab tak suraj uncha aur roshan na ho jaye, tab tak sunnat na pare. So now as long as the sun does not rise quite high and does not become bright, which is that 10 to 15 minutes after sunrise, the sunnat of fajr should not be read. So here what he's saying is a person, he read only the farz, he missed out the sunnat. So that sunnat that has been missed out before the farz of fajr, you must make qaza of that sunnat. That sunnat, later on you must read it. But after the time of ishraq set in, then only you will make qaza of that sunnat. This sunnat is so valuable, as mentioned in the hadith, خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. that this is better than the world and whatever the world contains, just these two rakats of namaz, so great it is. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that don't miss out these two sunnahs of Fajr. وَلَوْ تَرَدَّتْكُمُ الْخَيْلِ, that you're on the battlefield. And if you fear that the horses will trample on you, if you're going to start reading sunnat namaz, the horses will trample, you lose your life. Then to don't miss out these two sunnat of Fajr, showing the emphasis. What a emphasized sunnat is, sunnat this is. A person that's a musafir, he's traveling. So if a person is in a hurry, for example, he's traveling from here to Cape Town, wherever it might be, he's traveling from here to Cape Town. And he has to reach Cape Town by a particular time. So he is now pushing, he is rushing to reach there by that particular time. So this person on his way, he can suffice on just reading the faraz and leaving out the sunnah so that he can reach his destination on time. But the fajr sunnah, then too he shouldn't miss it out. Although he's on safar and he's trying to get there at a particular time, the sunnah of fajr, this he should try and perform. And as far as the other sunnahs are concerned, say for example a person is traveling. Now many a time when we're traveling, we don't have to be there at a particular time. We can travel at our own pace. At whatever time we want to reach, we can reach there. So then a person, when he's got ample time, then the sunnah shouldn't be left out. Many people think that, no, when you are traveling, then you don't have to perform sunnah. No, that's not the masla. The masla is when you are traveling, and you don't have sufficient time. You have to reach your destination by a particular time. You are pushing now for time. So at that time, if a person omits the sunnah, it's acceptable. But for a person that has ample time to reach his destination, he got enough time to read those sunnahs, then the sunnah is not that it drops off, he should read the sunnah namaz and then continue with his journey. Jab zara roshni aa jaye tab sunnat waghaira jo namaz chahe parhe. Jab subah ho jaye aur fajr ka waqt aa jaye to do rakat sunnat aur do rakat farz ke siwa aur koi nafil namaz parna durust nahi. This I already explained. That when the time of Fajr enters, only the Faraz and the Sunnah, there is no other Nafil Namaz. From the time Tahajjud ends, right up to the time of sunrise, there is no other Nafil Namaz. Yani makruh hai. It is makruh to read any other Nafil Namaz in this time. Albatta, qada namaz parna aur sajda ki ayat par sajda karna durust hai. This is repeating, that it's permissible to read qada namaz and the ayat of sajda, it can be made. Agar fajr ki namaz parne mein suraj nikal aya, person commences his fajr namaz. Whilst reading the fajr namaz, the sun rose. So namaz nahi hui. Then the namaz of a person is invalid. Say for example, you were just finishing the second rakat. And you are still in your salah. And the sun rose. Finish. Your entire salah became invalid. Because the sun rose. There's a lot of explanation to this in the kitab of fiqh. That why there's a difference between the fajr namaz and between the asr namaz. In Asr Namaz, a person was performing the Asr Namaz and the sun set. His Asr Namaz is done. But in Fajr, you commence your Fajr Namaz and the sun rose. You are in the ending, maybe you are in your second rakat. Then to the Fajr is not valid. So there is a lot of explanation because the Fajr Namaz, ulama say that it was started in a perfect time. The time that you started the Fajr Namaz, that was considered, is considered as Kamil time, a perfect time. It wasn't a makruh time. So when you started it in a Kamil time, in a perfect time, in a complete time, it must be completed and terminated also in the perfect time. And the Asr Namaz, it started when you read it before sunset. That was already a makruh time. It was what we call a naqis time, a deficient time. So when you started it in a naqis time, and whilst performing salah, the sun set. So you completed it in a naqis time, in a deficient time. So that is why it's acceptable here, whereas in the Fajr, it won't be acceptable. Suraj mein roshni aa jane ke baad qaza pare. After the sun has risen a little bit, then you can make qaza. Or agar asr ki namaz parne mein suraj doob gaya, and while performing asr salah, the sun sets, so namaz ho gayi, qaza na pare. Performing asr, the sun set, your namaz has been done, don't make qaza. One last masla. Isha ki namaz parne se pehle so rehna makruh hai. To sleep before the Isha salah, this is makruh. A person, if he's going to sleep before the Isha salah, it's makruh because there is no guarantee you're going to wake up for Isha. Now if you sleep after Maghrib, there's a great possibility you're going to miss out the Isha namaz. So that is why it is makruh. Namaz par ke sona chahiye. Person, he was wait a little bit, read your Isha namaz, and after Isha then go to sleep. Lekin, koi maraz se ya safar se bohot thaka, manda ho. But a person, because of some sickness or because of suffer, person is very, very tired. He just came from somewhere very far. He's very, very tired. Now he wants to take a little nap. Or a person is ill, because of which he requires some rest. Or kisi se keh de, ke mujhko namaz ke waqt jaga dena. Tell somebody, listen, I'm going to sleep for a little while. When the Isha Adhan is called out, or 5-10 minutes before Isha Adhan, wake me up. اور وہ دوسرا وعدہ کر لے تو سو رہنا درست ہے. And that person then promises, he says, okay, no problem, you go to have a rest, and I will ensure that you wake up for Isha Salah, then there's no issue with it. So the illat and the reason why it's makruh is that there's a possibility of missing the Isha Jamaat. But if this possibility does not exist, somebody else promises to wake you up, then a person can take a rest at that particular time. Regarding the wudu, here he mentions the procedure of making wudu, which we all generally know, but just as a revision, we will do it again. That when a person intends to make wudu, then number one, he should make an intention. He should have a niyat when making wudu. For the Shafis, it is necessary for them to have an intention. For the Hanafis, it is not a requirement for the validity of the wudu. If a person just made wudu with no intention, his wudu is valid, his salah will be valid. But a person, if he makes the intention, then he's going to get the sawab on that. Without the intention, he's going to be deprived of sawab. So a person should make intention that I'm performing wudu to get rid of hadath azghar, minor impurity. And according to other kitab, it says that I'm making this wudu to make salah permissible for me. So that salah becomes permissible for me. So a person should make this niyat when making wudu. Number two, recite the following dua. Bismillah walhamdulillah. This is normally on all the wuzu khanas, the stickers are there. Bismillah walhamdulillah. It is very simple. That I begin in the name of Allah, and all praises are due to Allah. Number three, then wash both the hands up to the wrist. Up to the wrist, a person should wash both the hands. Number four, use a miswak for cleaning the teeth, and then gargle thrice. Normally, sometimes what we do, we use the miswak first. So it's okay, a person should use the miswak as well. Number five, thereafter take water up to the nostrils thrice with the right hand, and clean the nose with the left hand. Right, so you take the water up to the nostrils. Now here a person must take the water in. Person supposed to take the water into the nostrils. But when a person is roza now, then a person shouldn't take it too deep in. But normally when a person is not roza, then you take it in properly. And he should clean with the left hand. Number six, wash the face thrice, beginning from the hairy part of the forehead till below the chin, and from one earlobe to the other. So in other words, you're going to start from here, wherever the hair is of a person, you will start from there, and right up to the earlobes, all this must be covered, and the chin of a person, all this must be covered. So if a person, for example, if the wudu is not done correctly, later on I think the masail are coming, that for example, if a particular area is left dry, so the wudu of a person is invalid. Now he's going to perform salah, so the salah will also be invalid. Number seven, make khilal of the beard. Make khilal of the beard. For those that have beards, then they should make khilal. A person is mentioned that he should take water in his hand and then take it up to the beard. And in this way, a person should try and make khilal. This is one way of making khilal. And Allama Shami rahmatullahi alayhi says, at that time a person should even say, Hakada amarani rabbi. This is what my Rabb has commanded me to do. Number eight, wash the right hand including the elbow thrice, followed by the left arm. Then make khilal of the fingers. So then we wash our right hand. And be very particular about the elbow over here. Many a times this area is left dry. So the right and then the left. And then a person, he makes khilal of the fingers in this way. Thereafter, wet the hands and pass them over the head, ears and nape once. This is known as masah. That a person, he makes masah of the entire head. So a person, he commences from the beginning. You take water and you throw it out. Then you commence from here. So from here, a person, he goes, see, so this is in the middle. And with this part of the hand now, you are covering the sides of the head. The sides. So the top is covered with the fingers, and the sides of the head with your palms. So your entire head is covered. Right? And then a person, he uses this finger. So this finger was left out. So this finger for inside the ear. Right? And then this finger here will be used for the back of the ear. So see, everything is used. Now this part is still left, this was still wet. So this is used for masah of the neck. So in this way a person should make masah of the head. This is known as masah. Number 10, wash the right foot including the ankle thrice. After washing the right foot, make khilal of the toes with the small finger of the left hand. So khilal is made with the small finger of the left hand. A person should make khilal. Then do the same for the left foot. Number 11. Recite this dua during wudu. Allahumma aghfir li dhanbi. Wallah, forgive me for my sins. Wa wassi' li fi dari. And Wallah, expand for me in my home. Wa barik li fi rizqi. And grant me barakat in my rizq. Haji Baipaja rahmatullah used to say that look at this dua. That he says that we're making dua to Allah Ta'ala that expand our homes. That give us huge homes. Not an extravagant home, but a very, very large home, a comfortable home. The house is very small. When you're walking from one room to the other room, you'll be bumping into somebody. So how difficult life becomes. So a huge home. And then he says, when you have a huge home, now people are going to come and visit you. Now jamaats are going to come and stay by your house. So he says, now you make dua, wabarikli fi rizqi. Wallah, grant me barakat in my rizq, so I can feed all these people, all my guests that come to my home. Number 12, recite this dua after wudu. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. Wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. This is all on the in the wudu khana, the stickers are all there. And then finally the dua, Allahumma aj'alni min at-tawwabin wa aj'alni min al-mutatahirin. Wallah, make me from amongst those that make tawbah, that repent, and make me from amongst those that are purified. So here also a person should make niyat that wallah I have performed, this is external purity. I have cleansed myself externally. So you make niyat and you make dua to Allah Ta'ala that internally also Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala cleanses a person when making wudu. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Coming to his kitab, Anwar al-Salah. So on Saturday we had just discussed one line. We have mentioned over here the Shaykh Ahmad Shaheed rahmatullah alayhi. Where he said, سلوک و تصوف اور ذکر و شغل کے طریق کو اختیار کرنے کا مقصد اللہ تعالیٰ کی رضا کے لیے نسبت باطنی کا حصول ہے. That the objective of choosing the path of سلوک and تصوف, treading the path towards Allah Ta'ala, and making the ذکر of Allah and doing spiritual exercises. What is the maqsad and the purpose of all this? He says, the objective is for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, to obtain a inner connection with Allah. That a person, he gets this nisbat with Allah Ta'ala. And we also discussed that Khaja Sahib rahmatullahi asked Mullah Thanvi rahmatullahi, that how does a person know that he got his nisbat? So he says that the outlook of life of this person will completely change. What he used to do previously and what he is doing now, there's a world of a difference. Now he's going towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Hazrat mentioned once, he says that once we were in Stanger by one particular person's home, so he says that this person was explaining, he says that when our parents, now he's already an elderly person and he's talking of his parents, he said when they used to eat the veggies, he said he used to say how enjoyable, how tasty these vegetables are. And youngsters, they don't like vegetables. So he said now he's an elderly person, he says at that time when we were young, then we used to say these old people, these old toppies, what they say here, old toppies, they're shooting, they're speaking lies. What they say that these vegetables, what's so tasty about vegetables? But he says, now we enjoy vegetables. So when a person, when his ta'alluq is made with Allah Ta'ala, then we find that automatically the simpler things in life, he opts for those things. And all the fashionable things, all these things in life, all these things don't really matter to such a person. Gee, so he says, this is to obtain that nisbat with Allah Ta'ala. Now further, he says, jiska matlab Allah Ta'ala se khusus-e hubbi ta'alluq ka hona hai. Now what this means, that a person got a connection with Allah Ta'ala, this means that a person, he got a special ta'alluq of love, a special connection of love with Allah Ta'ala. Any man that's got a connection with Allah, he's got special love for Allah Ta'ala. His connection with Allah Ta'ala is of a different nature. This is explained, like for example, a person, he has a friend. Now there's two types of friends that you get. One friend is that friend you have in the masjid. When you go to the masjid every day, you see him, salamu alaikum, kemcho, how are you? And you know him. Maybe you'll discuss something that today, you heard what happened today, and then after that you're gone. Now how you know him? Everybody in the masjid, they know this man here, they call him Chota Bhai. Or somebody calls him Babu Bhai, whatever. So somebody asks you, you know that particular person in the masjid, what's his name? That Babu Bhai, what's his name? Say, no, I don't know what's his name. Everybody calls him Babu Bhai. I know him as Babu Bhai. So he's also your friend. But your relationship is of that nature that you only know him by the title by which people call him. What is his name? That you don't know what is his name. So this is one type of a friendship. And another type of a friendship is a friendship of a personal level, where you know the person personally. You know his name, you know where he stays, you got all his contact details, and some of his secrets also he tells you, because he's got such a relationship with you. Now when this person, perhaps he comes to visit you at your home, when he came, maybe your son opened the door, he told him to sit down. So he came and told, you know what, Abba, somebody is here to see you. Now that person, he didn't tell you who's here. He just told you somebody is here. But that person, now he was sitting in the lounge, and in the lounge he coughed. So just by his cough, you'll know exactly who is here. Sometimes you walk in a masjid, certain person coughs, and you say, okay, he's here already in the masjid, because you know his cough. So like that, you have such a good ta'alluq with him, such a good relationship with him. So this person that got nisbat with Allah Ta'ala, his relationship, every person got a relationship with Allah. But his relationship with Allah Ta'ala is not a normal relationship. This is a special relationship that he's got with Allah, just like that friendship. One is that normal friendship, one is that close friendship. So just like that is his relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Now when a person got this type of a relationship with Allah Ta'ala, a special relationship, what happens to this person? He says, jisse har hal Allah Ta'ala ki yaad aur iska hazir wa nazir hone ke vijdan ki wajah se apni har harkat aur sukoon mein iski raza ka lihaz rakhna. That because of this relationship, this special love for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in every condition, a person remembers Allah and is aware of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's presence. That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is watching me every moment of my life. Allah Ta'ala's nazar is on me. Allah Ta'ala is watching me. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Does he not know that Allah Ta'ala is watching me? So you got that special love. Now you became conscious that Allah Ta'ala is watching me every moment of my life. And when you are conscious that Allah Ta'ala is watching me every moment of my life, then what happens? A person in every movement of his, whether he's involved in some work or in sukoon, a person is resting also. At that time, there's only one concern, that my Allah must be happy with me. My Allah Ta'ala must be happy with me. In the work that I'm doing, my Allah must be happy. In my rest that I'm taking, my Allah Ta'ala must be happy with me. This is the outcome when a person has got this ta'alluq, he's got this special relationship with Allah Ta'ala. And this is the greatest thing. The greatest thing that a person can get, this is the happiness of Allah Ta'ala. Quran says, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. That the happiness of Allah, the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, this is the greatest thing that a person can get. So in this world, when a person lives in the world, there's only one thing he has to try for. That is, and strive for, that is to please Allah Ta'ala. My Allah must be happy with me. And tomorrow when we leave this world, and we come before Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, then the tables are going to turn the other way. Now it won't be we have to work to please Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will ask us on the day of Qiyamah when a jannati will enter into Jannat. Once he's enjoying the bounties of Jannat, Allah Ta'ala will ask, Hal raditum, O my servants, are you all happy now in Jannat? So the bandas at that time, what was bounties of Jannat? Ma la aynun ra'at, what the eyes haven't seen. Wa la udhunun sami'at, the ears have not heard of. Wa la khatar ala qalbi bashar, the thought of Jannat hasn't even passed our minds as yet. We don't know what is Jannat. All the greatest bounties of this dunya is nothing in comparison to Jannat. So we don't know what is Jannat. But there Allah Ta'ala will ask that, are you happy now enjoying all these bounties? In this dunya, a person, he's got water, he keeps that water for a few days, that water will go bad. Quran Allah Ta'ala says that in Jannat will be rivers, fiha anharum min ma'in ghayri asin, that will never putrefy, it will never go bad. Wa anharum min laban lam yataghayyar ta'mu, such rivers of milk, that the taste of it will never ever change. Your milk of this dunya has got expiry date. After so many days, it's going to be expired, it's going to go bad. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّنْ خَمْرِ لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ. In dunya, we can't drink the wine of dunya. But the liquor of Jannah, the wine of Jannah will be so enjoyable for the drinker. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّنْ عَسَلٍ مُصَفَّى. Pure honey, rivers of honey. What bounties of Jannah, whatever a person wants, he'll have. If he wants to eat fish, if he wants it fried, he'll have it fried. If he wants it cooked, he'll have it cooked. How he wants that fish, he will have it. If he wants to eat a bird, and he desires, that bird must come down roasted, it will come roasted. If he wants it in curry, he would come down in curry. That fruit that he desires, no movement, just sit here and that fruit will come to you. So imagine what bounties Allah Ta'ala has. Now, when Allah Ta'ala is asking, are you happy, O my bandas? So a person will reply, the bandas will say, وَمَا لَنَا لَا نَرْضَى يَا رَبْ. How is it possible that we are unhappy with you, Allah? That you have given us مَا لَمْ تُعْتِي أَحَدًا مِّنْ خَلْقِكَ. You have given us what you haven't given anyone of your creation, wallah. Such bounties we are enjoying. So Allah Ta'ala will ask that أَلَا أُعْتِيكُمْ أَفْضَلَ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ. Should I not give you something that is more better than all that also? All these bounties of Jannat, should I not give you something that is better than the bounties of Jannat? So now the banda will think that is there anything better? So he'll ask Allah Ta'ala, وَأَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَفْضَلُ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ. What can be there that is better than these bounties of Jannat? What ni'mat we are enjoying? Can there be anything better than this? So then Allah Ta'ala will say, أُحِلُّ عَلَيْكُمْ رِضْوَانِي فَلَا أَسْخَطُ بَعْدَهُ أَبَدًا. That I make my pleasure permissible for you forever from now. And I will never ever be displeased with you. So see, in dunya it's the other way. please Allah Ta'ala. Yeah, our worry is to please Allah Ta'ala. And tomorrow when we in Jannat, the table will turn the other way around. Allah Ta'ala will make us happy, and Allah Ta'ala will say, oh my banda, I will always be pleased with you, I will never ever be displeased with you. And a person that is mentioned in the ayat of the Quran, where Allah Ta'ala says, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانْ. That a man that fears Allah Ta'ala, he fears that he has to stand before Allah on the day of Qiyamah, for him is true Jannat. We can get Jannat right here in this world. That enjoyment of Jannat in this world. So he says, under this is mentioned, that Jannatun fi dunya bihuduri al-Mawla. That a person will have Jannat in this world with the presence, when Allah Ta'ala is in the heart. So at that time, a person gets such enjoyment, he'll get the enjoyment of Jannat in this world. وَجَنَّةٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ بِلِقَاءِ الْمَوْلَى. And a person will have Jannat in the Akhirat, that is with the meeting of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So a person that got Allah in his heart, he's already got the enjoyment of Jannat in this world. That is why sometimes he's in the ibadat of Allah, he's crying, and he's saying, Allah, make me maaf for my gunas. Sometimes he's making tilawat, so much of enjoyment in the tilawat, he doesn't want to stop. That enjoyment of Jannat he's got. These majalis that are taking place, where he's sitting around the sheikh, where a person sometimes he's in Jamaat, or a person is sitting in front of Kaaba Sharif, he's sitting in front of Madinatul Munawwara. That is what enjoyment, what contentment a person gets. Anywhere in the world a person can go, that contentment he cannot get. So that is the enjoyment of Jannat Allah Ta'ala gives a person in this very world. So nevertheless, he says that all the time a person that's got this connection with Allah Ta'ala, he's worried about pleasing Allah. Yani puri zindagi ka har lamha shariat ke mutabik ho jana hai. And what this means, that every moment of our life has to be in accordance to shariat. That a person, whether he's in business, there also it has to be according to shariat. A person is in his private life, then also it has to be according to shariat. A person is traveling, he's on the aeroplane, his life there also must be according to shariat. That is Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi composed one poem, and where he says that main jahan bhi rahu, jis fiza mein bhi rahu, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. That wherever I live, wherever I might be, and whichever environment I might be in, then my taqwa must always be intact, that I must live according to shariat. And this Hazrat wrote particularly for the aeroplane. Why? Because a person that is traveling, when he leaves his home, at home, mashallah, is a pious person. He's a 5 times namazi. His dressing also is according to sunnah. The moment he comes to the airport, and he's going to now board that flight, finish. He's already changing. His mindset has already changed. And then when he's on that aircraft and he's traveling, now there's air hostesses that are there. Now there's a passenger that came, a female came and sat next to him. And he happens to be alone. Now automatically a person, he goes towards guna. That is why one dua we make also, Allahumma inna nas'aluka fi safarina hadha albirra wa taqwa. That Allah, in the safar, this journey that I'm undertaking, I ask you Allah for piety, Allah. Grant me piety in the safar of mine. Wa taqwa. And grant me taqwa in the safar of mine. Wa min al-amali ma tarda. And such amal that you'll become pleased. Why? Because you're away from home. At home, everyone knows you. When you're out from home, then nobody knows you. So now the attitude of a person changed. A person at home is wearing his kurta. Now on his holiday, he's wearing his jammies. He's going to the beach now. So now nobody knows me. I can wear jammies and I can go to the beach. But at home, he's wearing the kurta. So a big change takes place in a person. So that's why Hazrat mentioned that in whichever environment I am, my taqwa must always remain salamat. My taqwa must always be intact. کیونکہ شریعت حقہ میزان رضا الہی ہے. That to act upon the shariat, this is the scale to determine the pleasure of Allah تبارک و تعالی. That how much you acting upon shariat, accordingly you are pleasing Allah تبارک و تعالی. That whether, for example, there's a burial that is taking place, there's a janazah. Today janazas also have become such that many places after the person is buried, or at home there's a party that is taking place. Whereas this is against the teachings of Nabi alayhi salam. Whereas Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala passed away, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sahaba, he said, Isna'u li ali Ja'far ta'ama. That make food, you make food for the people, for the family of Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala. Qad atahum amrun yashghaluhum, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. That such a matter has come over them that has occupied them, they in their distress, they in their worry, that their family has passed away. Today is the other way around. Today they are preparing, the home people, they are now preparing, and they're making announcement also. That food is prepared. The actual procedure is that people have come from far, people have come from far and wide to attend the janazah. Few people in the locality, few people say, I'll take a few people. One person says, I'll take a few people. Another person says, I'll take a few people. Finish. These people are in difficulty. Now is not the time for them now to start preparing the food. Secondly, the question comes about many a time, where is the money coming from for the food? What if it is from the estate of the deceased person and they are minors that are there? They are orphans. So in other words, you are eating the money of the orphans. Quran says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. That those that eat the wealth of these orphan children unjustly, they are eating the fire of Jahannam in their stomach. That morsel, that biryani you're putting in your stomach, that is the fire of Jahannam. So how particular a person should be of all these things. So Shariat is every aspect of our life. So how much we will act upon Shariat, that is how much we will attain the pleasure and the happiness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Mukhtasar, he says in short, ye ke nisbat ka matlab dawam e zikr aur dawam e ta'at hai. He says the meaning of nisbat, of having this connection with Allah Ta'ala, is that a person is continuously in the zikr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and a person is continuously in the obedience of Allah. Any person that is always in the zikr of Allah and the obedience of Allah, this person is an indication that this man has got nisbat. What it means zikr, it doesn't mean verbal zikr. Any amal that we do is done according to sunnat. This a man is in the zikr, he is in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. One buzruk, he was in Makkah Sharif and he was making tawaf. So when he was making tawaf in Makkah Sharif, he saw one man, he is holding the ghilaf of the Kaaba. One of our kabirin have written this in the kitab. He was holding the ghilaf of the Kaaba. And while holding the ghilaf, he's crying, he's making dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So he looked at him, Allah Ta'ala inspired him, Allah Ta'ala informed him through Kash. This man, he's making dua, tears are coming out, but his heart is somewhere else. No connection with Allah Ta'ala whatsoever. And then the same Buzruk, he went to Mina. When he went to Mina, there was one person that was in business. And he was busy doing his business. People are buying, people are selling. Hajj season is a very busy season. So people are buying, selling. He was doing his business. So he cast one glance at this person that was doing business. He found that although outwardly he's in dunya, but his heart was engaged in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. He was connected to Allah Ta'ala. So see, sometimes a person is in deen. When we look at him, he's in deen. But there's no connection whatsoever with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And on the other side, a person is in dunya, but his connection is with Allah Ta'ala. Mawlana Salimullah Khan Sahab, Rahmatullah Alayh, he has written in one of his kitab. He says, how do you know that a person is deendar? And how do you know that a person is dunyadar? One is deendar, a man of deen. And how do you know he is dunyadar, a man of dunya? He says, very easy. He says that at a particular time, that there's a demand that you must fulfill the haqq of Allah Ta'ala, the right of Allah Ta'ala, fulfill this injunction of Shariat. So he says this is a demand. And at the same time there's a demand that fulfill the right of dunya, fulfill some need of dunya. So now you got to make a choice. Must I fulfill the right of Allah or should I fulfill the need of dunya? So he gives an example. He says, for example, a man is in his shop. So he says, at that time when you're in your shop, he says, the adhan was called out. Now you know you have to get your salah with jamaat. So that is the need of deen, that go to the masjid and perform your salah. But he says, at the same time, he says, one customer walked in, and here he's a big customer. And now you know you can conclude a deal over here maybe for hundreds of thousands. So he says, at that time, what are you going to give preference to? He says, if you gave preference to that customer, and you left out the deen, the command of Allah, you are dunyadar. You got dunya in your heart. And if at that time you said, I'm going to perform my salah, and this customer, immediately after salah, I'll come back and I'll attend to the customer. He says that this is an indication that this is a man of deen, this is a deendar person. So he says, this is how you work it out, that what will you give preference to at that time when you have to make a choice between deen and between dunya. So, between deen and between dunya. So further he says, ke mukhtasar ye ke nisbat ka matlab dawame zikr aur dawame ta'at hai. Aur tamam ta'at mein sabse muhtam bishan ta'at namaz hai. So he says that from among the obedience of Allah. So nisbat is you always in the zikr of Allah and you always in the obedience of Allah. And he says that from all the obedience, acts of obedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that which is most important act of obedience is namaz. The highest act of obedience is namaz. Jiska asar tamam burayo se bachana. And the effect of this is that when a person will perform his salah, this salah will protect him from all forms of evil. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. All form of indecency, all form of evil. If a person performs his namaz correctly, it will protect him from all forms of evil. Aur zindagi ke har shu'ba ko ibadat bana dena hai. And this salah will make every department of your life into ibadat. When your salah will be correct, your life will be, with your family will become ibadat. Because that will come in order now. Because your salah was in order. Like we mentioned the other day, there is a connection which we cannot see. But there is a connection between salah and our life outside the masjid. So your family life will become ibadat. Your business life, that will become an ibadat. If a person is taking a rest, insan, we need a rest also. That rest of yours will also become an ibadat. Why? What's the consequence? This is a consequence of your salah coming right. So an effort has to be made on the salah. So everything in the life of a person will now be corrected. Further, he says, jiski tafsil Quran wa ahadith mein aayi hai. The explanation of this and the details of this has come in the Quran and the hadith. Isi liye, roze mahshar mein sabse awwal namaz hi ka hisab hoga. He says, for this reason, because namaz is so important, it is so important in the life of a person, that on the day of qiyamah, awwalu ma yuhasabu bihi al-abdu yawm al-qiyamah as-salah. The first thing you're going to be questioned for on the day of qiyamah is your salah. And inshallah, if salah will be in order, everything will be in order, inshallah. And how shaitan also works. Look how Allah Ta'ala's system is. That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has kept for us nafil. When a person will look after his nafil namaz, normally we're very neglectful as far as nafil is concerned. We say, no, if a person doesn't do it, there's no guna. So leave it out. But if the nafil of a person is protected, then next is the sunnah mu'akkada. So the sunnah mu'akkada, the emphasized sunnah, that will be protected. When the sunnah mu'akkada is protected, then your faraz will be protected. Because anyone is making sunnah, he's not going to neglect his faraz. His faraz is going to be protected. So when shaitan works also, what does shaitan do? Shaitan destroys your nafil. Put in your mind, you're tired today, man. What you want to read nafil namaz today for? Take a break. You need a rest also. Your body also has a right over you. So shaitan plays with the mind of a person. So shaitan will destroy that nafil. So slowly, you'll miss one nafil. Then after a few days, initially it'll be difficult. One day you'll miss. Then after a few days, you'll miss another nafil. Gradually, shaitan will make it such that nafil will come out of your life. When nafil has come out of our lives, now shaitan will start playing with sunnat muakkada. That see, now this is sunnat. It is only a sunnat muakkada. So it's okay. Occasionally also you can miss it out. When you have a valid excuse, you can miss it out. So miss it out. Once you start missing once, you start missing twice, thrice, then gradually sunnat muakkada will come out. When sunnat muakkada comes out of our lives, the next stage is now shaitan will come onto faraz. And he'll start tampering with our faraz. And then he will take a person out of faraz. And when a person leaves faraz, the next is iman. So, look after the nafil, your sunnat muakkada will be taken care of. Take care of sunnat muakkada, your faraz will be taken care of. And if faraz is taken care of, inshallah, our iman will be taken care of. So therefore, he says, the first thing on the day of qiyamah is salah. And if salah is corrected, then all these departments of our life, inshallah, will be corrected. Namaz ke fazail aur ahmiyat, ulama aur mashayikh hamesha se tahreer farmate chale aaye hain. The fazail, the virtues, and the importance of salah. The mashayikh and the ulama, continuously, they have mentioned this, they have written this, continuously how important salah is. Aur isme hamare Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali ka bhi ek risala, fazail namaz, bohot hi mubarak aur muattir hai. And he says, in this regard, there is a little booklet of Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali, which we do in fazail amal, the fazail namaz. He said, this is very, very mubarak, very, very blessed also, and very, very effective as well. Aur namaz ke zahiri masail, kutub-e-fiqh mein daraj hai. And he says, the external masail of salah, this has been recorded in the kitabs of fiqh. In the kitabs of fiqh, how to perform your salah, the masail pertaining to salah, all this has been recorded. Aur mukhtasar taur par, Urdu mein Risala Ta'aleem ul-Islam aur Beheshti Zewar mein tamam zaruri masail ka bayan hai. And he said in a very concise manner, in the Urdu language, he said one is the booklet of Ta'aleem ul-Islam and the other is Beheshti Zewar, where all these important and necessary masail have been recorded. A person, he has to have a container first. First you must have a container. Then only you are able to fill something into that container. So all these masail, this is the outward of namaz. The outward appearance, the outward postures of namaz, all this has to be corrected. When all these things are corrected, the outward form of namaz is now in order, and everything has been corrected, now we will fill the ruhaniyat. Now we will fill the spirituality in. Normally when a child is born, as it explains, that there are stages in which Allah Ta'ala forms that child in the womb of the mother. ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً. At first it is a drop of sperm. And that drop of sperm then becomes blood. ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً. فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُدْغَةً. Then that blood becomes flesh. فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُدْغَةَ عِظَامًا. That flesh then becomes a bone. فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا. Then we cover that bone with flesh, Allah Ta'ala says. So see, in every 40 days there's a change. And when a 120-day period is over, which is 4 months, then the ruh of the child is put in. So initially is the outward form of the child. When the outward form is found, now the ruh is put into the child. So exactly the same way, we bring the fazail of salah, we bring the masail of salah. So the outward of salah, this has to be corrected. When the external of salah is corrected, now we come to anwar salah. Now the ruhaniyat, now the spirituality, this is now brought in. Lekin Quran aur sunnat mein iski bhi wadahat hai, ke namaz ke tamam fazail, aur zindagi par iska asar haqiqi, iska asar haqiqi namaz, yani baruh, khushu aur khudu wali namaz se hasil hota hai. And he says in the Quran and the hadith also, all the explanation of all these fazail, this is found over there as well. But he says that in our life, he says for this namaz to have an effect in our lives, we want to read a namaz that will change our life, that will have an effect in our life. So he says this can be obtained only by performing a salah that has concentration and that has devotion in it. If that concentration internally also it is there, we said khushu is a quality of the heart. So that internal connection with Allah Ta'ala is there. And the external form of salah, all the limbs are humble before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the correct way. If these two things will be found, then we will find that effect in that salah. Many a times a person says, I'm performing salah, but I'm not getting the effect of salah. For example, I'm supposed to be giving up gunas. So I'm not giving up gunas. So the hadith also mentioned of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, مَنْ لَمْ تَنْهَوُ صَلَاتُهُ عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ صَلَا صَلَا صَلَا. That person, his salah does not prevent him, does not stop him from wrong. He's still doing wrong. Doesn't mean he should stop. His namaz must still carry on. But that person, that his salah is not preventing him from wrong, means there is no salah. There's something wrong with your salah. Go and check your salah up. There's some problem, some deficiency in your salah. That salah has to be corrected. If that salah is corrected, then you'll stop. Automatically a person will give up gunas. One sahabi, he came into the masjid and he performed salah. So Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam watched the sahabi. So after namaz, the sahabi came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he made salam. So Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied to him, Wa alaykum as-salam. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Salli fa innaka lam tusalli. That go and read namaz. You never read namaz. So the sahabi, he didn't say at that time, Ya Rasulullah, I read namaz. But he went back and he read his namaz. He read his namaz for the second time. He came back to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, Salli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go read your namaz. You never read namaz. So see, he's reading namaz. And he's coming to Nabi alayhi salam. So second time Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam told him. The third time when he came second time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam sent him. He read namaz for the third time. When he came for the third time, again Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam told him, Salli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go read your namaz. You haven't read namaz. So this time he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam that, Ya Rasulullah, that arini wa allimni, that you show me now. And you explain, you teach to me namaz. Because I don't know what wrong I'm doing. So here the shurra, the commentators of hadith have written that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have educated him the first time. Why didn't Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam educate him the first time? Why on the third time he educated him? So shurra say, the commentators say, that a person can only be educated when he's got a desire in his heart. Otherwise, a man that's got no desire, so many gatherings take place, people come and they sit in that gathering. But the desire, that talab is not there, that shock is not there. Now the person is not going to benefit. Now when he realized that I'm not reading correctly, that shock was created now in his heart. That desire was created. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, arini wa allimni. That now show me and teach me, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him and explained to him how to perform salah. He said that when he was going into ruku, just going down very slightly and then coming up. And then from qawma, just going quickly into sajda. So in your salah that he was performing, there was no itminan in your salah. There was no composure. He wasn't coming to a complete standstill. All the postures were not made in the correct manner. So therefore Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught him now how to perform a correct salah. Those sahaba that were seated there at that particular occasion, they said that through the blessing of this sahabi, we also learned from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam how to perform a complete salah. So nevertheless, so all these masail, the outward form of salah has to be in order, and then the spirituality. Further, he says, جِسْمِ ihsan ki kayfiyat, yani أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ كَمَنْذَرْ هُ. That in the salah, there must be the condition of ihsan. This condition of ihsan. What is this condition of ihsan? That أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ. That you worship Allah Ta'ala as though you can see Allah. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. If you cannot see Allah, then at least this much that Allah Ta'ala is watching you. So this is how a person should perform salah, as though you are seeing Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. This can be understood with a very logical, simple example. For example, a employee, he is working for the employer. Now let's say the employer of the shop, he has gone out. He has gone on a holiday or he has gone for some business, he has gone out. Now the employees, they know the boss is not here. So when the boss is not in the shop, now they are also going to mess around. Why? Because the boss is not there. Similarly, for example, if the student in the class, the ustad has to go out. So the ustad tells the student, listen, I'm going, I won't be here for this lesson. So in this 30 minutes, I want you all to learn. This one page I want you all to learn. So the moment the ustad is gone, finished, now they are already playing. Although they know they got to learn that one page, but there's not going to be any dedication whatsoever in that. But if the ustad is there, now see the difference in the student, how that student excels, how that student learns. Or for example, when the boss is there, then see how that employee is working, because he knows my boss is watching me, that my job is at stake over here. If I don't work properly, I'm going to lose my job. Exactly, when a person is aware, my Allah is watching me, and then he is performing his salah, or I am looking at my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now see the difference in his salah. Look at that qiyam of his standing posture. Before this condition of ihsan, before this condition was in him that Allah is watching me, what was his qiyam before that and what is it now? Now what is the difference between his ruku and the previous ruku? His sajda now and his previous sajda. There's a world of a difference between the two. This is exactly what was the condition with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, when Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be in the house, then light-hearted talks also with us. Not that he was just serious all the time. At home also Nabi alayhi sallam would have light-hearted talks. But the moment the azan would be given, he says the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would change. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is gone to the masjid. So this is that difference will come into a person when this ihsan comes into a person. Now that I'm in front of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and I'm performing salah. And this is how a person should perform salah. Aur ghafrat wali namaz ke liye to Quran wa hadith mein sakh wa'id aayi hai. And for a salah of negligence, there is warnings that have come in the Quran and the hadith. That sometimes the salah that a person performs, that salah becomes a curse for a person. Like a dirty, some hadith it is mentioned, like a dirty rag. It is thrown back, flung back at the person. That this is the type of salah that a person has read. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ Quran Paak mein irshad hai, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that certainly the believers are successful. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ Who are they? وہ مؤمن جو اپنی نماز میں خشوع کرنے والے ہیں. Which mu'min are successful? Those believers are successful. Those that perform the salah with khushu, خائفون, they fear that they are standing before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So that person will perform salah in that way, that he's fearing, that he's standing before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Do you think that he'll have time now to scratch his body, to scratch his beard, to touch his movie, stop him? No, he's standing before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Hazrat explains this, he says, that before we came for namaz, he said, no way it was scratching. 2-3 hours before namaz, from the morning, we left home for example, 8 o'clock in the morning, he started work. From 8 o'clock to Zohar, a person, no way it was scratching. Now he came in the masjid, 12:30 to read Zohar namaz. Now his head is scratching, his leg is scratching, his arm is scratching. Only when it is in namaz. So at that time, a person just console yourself. Just tell yourself a little bit, you know what? Okay, just wait a little bit now. After namaz is over, we'll scratch for half an hour even. 20 minutes also we'll scratch. But now these few minutes I'm not going to scratch. So see, when a person is conscious that I'm standing before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then his salah will be completely different. Hazrat here he mentioned that in following the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following the sunnah, there's only benefit. And he gives the example, he says, over here, as it explained, he says that for example, our wudu that we make also, our wudu is not according to sunnah. He says that the sunnah in wudu is that a person must make gharghara, the water must go, not when we're fasting. This is when we are not fasting. A person should take the water and make gharghara, and then he should take out that water. And today a person has got a problem, throat is paining, we go to the doctor, what they say? Salt water. Just take some salt, put it in the water. Or the doctor will say, use some TCP. So he says, the best antiseptic is water. Just use water and all these illnesses, all these sicknesses of a person will be cured. But he says, we don't do that. And as I mentioned, in wudu also, the water in the nose, he's supposed to take it right up to the soft portion. So that is how far the water should be taken. But we don't do that. We just take the water and just push it there and it's over. So our wudu also is not according to sunnah. And in every sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there's great benefit. For example, the scientists have only discovered now, when we make wudu, then masa of the neck, that is a sunnah. That is a sunnah of wudu. Faraz is just to make masa of quarter of the head. If a person, he makes masa of quarter of the head, his faraz has been discharged. And the sunnah is to make of the entire head, the ears, and the neck, etc. All this is sunnah.
today scientists have discovered that on a hot day, there is a vein that is here in the back. And this vein, it gets heated up in the sun. So when a person, he makes massage of the neck, we find that this now cools everything down. So see, there also there's benefit. That is sunnah. But we shouldn't ask, what is the hikmah, what is the wisdom behind this? Although there are kitabs that have been written, that what is the benefit of sunnah? But a person shouldn't question it. We're doing it because of love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, it is sunnah. The person, his pants should be worn above the ankle. It shouldn't be below the ankle. What is below the ankle, this is in the fire of Jahannam, something the effect Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. So here today, scientists have only discovered that the ankle, when it is exposed, the rays of the sun, they now fall onto the ankle. And this generates energy in the body of a person. So every sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so valuable, every sunnat of Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So nevertheless, should we just finish one hadith quickly? Further, he says, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu farmate, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, ki ek martaba Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne aasman ki taraf nigaah uthai. And on one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he raised his gaze towards the heaven. Aur yeh irshad farmaya, ki is waqt ilm ke dunya se ut jane ka waqt munkashif hua hai. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the time that has come when knowledge will be taken away from the world. Knowledge is going to be lifted away from the world. Hazrat Ziyad radiallahu ta'ala anhu sahabi ne aras kiya, Ya Rasulullah, Hazrat Ziyad radiallahu ta'ala was a sahabi. He said, Ya Rasulullah, ilm hum se kis tarah ut jayega? How will knowledge be taken away from us? Hum log Quran Sharif parte hai, aur apne aulaad ko parhate hai. We read Quran Sharif. We teach Quran to our children. Aur wo isi tarah apne aulaad ko parhayenge, aur silsila chalta rahega. Our children will teach their children, who in turn will teach their children. And in this way, knowledge will continue. And you are saying that knowledge is going to be lifted up. Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne farmaya, main to tujhe bara samajhdar khayal karta tha. He said, O Ziyad, I thought you were a very intelligent person. If you raising such an objection, such a question you are raising, ye yahud wa nasara bhi to Torah to Injil parte parhate hai, that these Christians and the Jews, they also teach, they learn and they teach the Torah and the Injil, the Ahl Kitab, they teach the scriptures. Phir kya kar aamad hua? Then what benefit was it to them? Inshallah, we'll explain to this a little more in detail. Tomorrow we'll continue from here. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq.